Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. And you know that music. It's Downton Abbey time again. It returns to PBS this weekend. And to many of us, the butlers that appear on Downton Abbey are the stuff of fiction. Alfred Pennyworth and Bruce Wayne, or Anthony Hopkins' character in Remains of the Day, and of course, Downton Abbey.
So will we have a bit of a break while they're away, Mr. Carson?
What?
He meant can we expect some time off? For an outing or something?
I don't understand. Has someone forgotten to pay your wages?
No.
Exactly. No, we will start with the ceremonial wear, and when that's done, I want all the silver brought down for cleaning, one room at a time.
That's Mr. Carson on Downton Abbey. And what if I told you that Downton Abbey was actually real in some ways in the United States today? Or at least a place quite similar exists, hidden in downtown Denver. The Starkey International Institute is a sort of boot camp for people who want to be butlers and estate managers. Here to tell us the secrets from the servants' quarters is John P. Davidson, who has written a piece for Harper's called Urang, Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich, about his time at the Starkey Institute. John, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Before we get started, I want to talk about the language of the high-end service field. Just like at Downton Abbey, there seems to be a very specific vocabulary and hierarchy of service staff and employers. So what's the language for the managers and personal assistants and butlers in the U.S. today?
Well, at this point, the very high-end the highest level is a state manager, and state managers run houses that are larger than 17,000 square feet, or at least that's what we say at Starkey. And there will be multiple houses, or might be four or five properties they run. Or in some cases, some families will have several estate managers for different properties. The next level is the house manager, and that's usually a house of 12,000 square feet or more, and there will be staff of some sort. It varies from place to place. And then butlers are Starkey has shifted the focus somewhat from butlers, but does train butlers, and there were butlers there. And those are they're what are often referred to as eye servants. They're there for show, sort of like footmen were in England. And then there are housekeepers and of course chefs and chauffeurs and that sort of thing.
Well, give us, even though the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't keep statistics on this type of work, you believe
right.
There's been a recent shift back to having servants in the U.S., so even though you say it slowed a bit during the recession. How can you tell?
Well, you know, one of the things about this world is that at one moment it's very ostentatious. Everywhere you look, you see advertisements for Rolls Royces and huge estates, that sort of thing. And at the other end, at the same time, it's very private. And to go into this world in any way, almost everyone has to sign a non-disclosure agreement. But everybody who works in the world says, yes, it's booming. The Domestic Estate Managers Association estimates that there are 450,000 households in the United States that have staffs now. And they have 2,000 members who are working in private service. And at Starkey, we heard again and again, this is a booming industry.
450,000 households that have staff, about 500,000 households. And John just mentioned that many of those staff members have to sign non-disclosure agreements, but it's worth a shot if you're out there and have had this type of service job, either as a butler, an estate manager, a driver, or something similar. Mm-hmm. Give us a call and let us know what it was like for you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We only use your first name. But John, you went through this very rigorous training protocol for what it would be like to become a top staff member for an estate. What are the sorts of things that an estate manager has to manage? I mean, you mentioned 17,000 square foot mansions, but mm-hmm. what goes mm-hmm. along with managing that kind of property?
Oh, wow. There's so much that's involved. One, just the physical maintenance of the property, also running the overseeing the staff, providing concierge services for all of the family, for the principals, and part of that is knowing what the principals want. A really good estate manager, a really good servant, knows what they don't have to ask what their principals want. They're there to provide it before they even know that they want it. And so, a lot of it is one of the things we did was write a book about either an imaginary family or in some cases, real families. And part of it was collecting all sorts of information about the family, family trees, what we referred to as flavor profiles, what the family wants to eat, who their guests are, where their guests come from, that sort of thing. So it's a very complicated operation.
One of your teachers told you, you quote in the piece, your principals will be CEOs and billionaires, but they won't realize they need HR rules in their own house. You will have
That's
to train
right.
your families because they don't know what they need. Can you tell us a little bit more about the who works as estate managers? What's their sort of demographic profile, and what is that relationship like when you come in to establish that rules of the house in a CEO's home?
What we were told at Starkey is that it's quite complicated, and then you have to come in and you have to you go through with the staff and you interview all of the staff that's there and you find out what they're doing or what they're not doing that they should be doing. And then you start collecting information about the families and what their schedules are. When do they travel? When are they not in the house? Which depends, which will determine when the house can be cleaned, that sort of thing. Some people don't want service. They'll have very large staffs, and this is somewhat eccentric, but they don't want to see the staff at all, and so the staff can't come into the house while they're there. They have to wait until the family leaves to clean, and it's a complicated business.
You also mentioned in Atlanta there's a particular preference for a certain type of staff. What's the line in your Harper's piece?
Oh, I can't quote the line exactly. Someone I know from Atlanta told me, I asked about what people were doing, what kind of servants people had there, and he said, in Atlanta everybody started using gays in Atlanta for their servants, and everybody's using gays, and so that's that's anecdotal.
It's anecdotal, but you also mentioned it gets around some of what could be, you know, these are fairly intimate roles that these staff members mm-hmm. have in a mm-hmm. household, and it gets around some possible sexual tension if there's a male staff member.
Yeah, certainly. In some cases, families specify that they want a gay butler or a gay house manager or whatever, and the assumption is that you don't have to worry about your daughter, or you don't have to worry about your wife. If you have a trophy wife, if you have a gay house manager or gay servants. Also, what we would hear at Starkey is that homosexual men are so obsessive compulsive and that they are detail oriented. And that's one of the things. Details are very, very important in this world, getting all the details right.
So the Starkey Institute 8-week program that you went through to learn how to be a top staff mm-hmm. of an estate, they're using some stereotypes there in their training. But yeah. I couldn't get a sense from your piece. I mean, you write that you were at a point in your writing career where you were sort of looking for more reliable employment, thinking this might be a good alternative. I mean, how do you get hired to do this type of work, and what kind of income can you expect?
Well, what I discovered and going through Starkey is that most people get hired by wealthy families are people that the families know. And it's somebody who works in the office or somebody who they know from a club or a friend of a friend. And what's very important in getting one of these jobs is that you have the experience. Having a certification is good, but it's not. It won't automatically get you a job, and I think that as a to characterize this group of people would be difficult. I think all sorts of people do it. And
what's the range in income, and what sort of benefits do you get?
Benefits. I think that house managers, my impression is that they started about $60,000 a year, and we heard a lot about six-figure jobs. Very often they come with benefits. Very often you have live-in quarters, and you have basically no expenses. I think for some estate managers it will go up into over $200,000 if it's a very complicated, if you're running lots of different properties or if it's a very high-level family.
At this point, have you abandoned your plans to look for work in this field?
Yes, I have. And I realized that I wasn't suited for it. I was going to do it because I had spent all this time writing a novel, and then as it turns out, the novel is getting published, and when I thought it wouldn't, and so I'd gone. So yeah, things. Yes, I've decided not to do this.
But a question: after going through this 8-week training program that included everything from how much time it took to iron a shirt properly to where silverware went on the sides of the plates. I mean, how's your own household looking these days?
It's better. I'm not. yes, our standards have gone up. So things. I realized. Where my organizational skills were wanting.
John Davidson is the author of the upcoming novel, The Obedient Assassin. His piece for Harper's is called You Rang, Mastering the Art of Serving the Rich. John, thanks for joining us here on WNYC.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we'll talk transportation alternatives for New Year's Eve. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.